Welcome to this afternoon we are spending together. As I was sitting in the back room just now, at 5 to 1, a voice came through the loudspeaker and said, "This is your 5-minute warning, showtime in 5 minutes. That's what they do in theaters. So this must be showtime. But of course, it's not a performance. Well, there may be an association in your mind of theater, stage. Well, there's no curtain, but there could be an association in your mind of this kind of setting with performance. But it's been cancelled. And instead, all you get is a man sitting in a chair speaking. And not even someone who has very much of a stage presence. So if you expected a performance, or even if you expected a lecture, that's not what you're getting. You're getting less than that and more than that at the same time. The focal point this afternoon is not here on the speaker. The main character in this non-performance is sitting down there in that chair. And the words will always point you back to that. If you think there's something interesting out here, there isn't. If you expected food for thought, you probably won't get very much. So just a few words I'd like to say about how to be here this afternoon. Because if you don't know how to be here fully, very quickly it's going to get boring and uninteresting. Because you're not getting enough stimulus for thinking. So, and in an event like this with so many people, it's inevitable that a few are going to walk out after 20 or 30 minutes. They knew not how to be here fully. They were not completely present here. They were absorbed in the stream of thinking, which is normal. One reason why we are here is that you are being taken out of the stream of thinking and realize that you haven't disappeared, that when you step out of the stream of thinking, consciousness is still there. You're fully conscious, sitting there, listening. That's awareness that doesn't need thought. This is the new level of consciousness that's arising in human beings. Otherwise, so many people wouldn't be here. Certainly not to experience this speaker. It hasn't got that much to offer, but it's because something is happening within you that corresponds to these words. The words point back to that, and the words and that which is beyond the words here in this field pulls that level of consciousness, which I sometimes call the unconditioned consciousness, out of you, so to speak. But it is already arising in most of you, otherwise you wouldn't be here. With the exception perhaps of those who came here involuntarily because of insistence of their husband or wife. You must come to this. Okay. I might as well check this guy out. Okay. And then after 20 minutes, what's he talking about? I just can't figure out what it is that he's talking about. And then restlessness comes in because not enough stimulus is being given to the mind. It often starts with a twitching leg. That was designed by Universal Intelligence to wake you up. Nothing better than waking up a little shock. And life tends to do that to us. The little ego says, please, no, I don't want any of this, but it happens. So there's the twitching, rest, and finally, can't stand this anymore. So there may be quite a few of you who have never come to a talk like this. So just a few pointers of how to be here, not just as a mind or as a head attached to a body. And you know, when you're a head attached to a body, you're always uneasy and waiting for the next thing. When is he going to say something meaningful? Some interesting new theory that I can believe in or I disagree with, even better. That keeps it going. I disagree completely. So one thing we surrender here this afternoon is this inner need, which is the human mind, this enormous inner need, usually unrecognized because it's so normal, this enormous inner need for the next moment. When you look at people, you can actually see they're looking for it. They are overlooking always this. And they're looking there, the next moment. And with that comes that continuous state of unease with this moment. This moment becomes a hindrance to where I need to get, to the next moment that's going to fulfill me or do something for me. Let's get there. Where is it? That's the normal human state. And if you cannot step out of that, you will not be able to survive this afternoon here. So how do you step out of that momentum of the thought processes that are always moving towards the next thing? Move your attention into this moment. First thing that it means for many people, when their attention moves out of thinking into presence, they become more acutely aware of their sense perception, the surroundings. A certain alertness arises, as if you had been away and now suddenly you're back. And it is true, you had been away, your attention, your whole sense of identity was absorbed by thought processes. Most of them problematic. Another problem to solve before I can be free. So why we are here this afternoon is to experience at first hand what many of you are experiencing already and know it, and many others who are present here experience already without knowing it, and I will be pointing to that to see that you can recognize that this state of presence is already probably arising in you even if you don't know it yet, because it is not recognized by the movement of thought. It is not recognized by the mind made me. It recognizes its problems. It recognizes its need for the next moment. It cannot recognize the state of awareness, the arising presence. But we are here in this field to enable that state of consciousness to arise more fully. So your attention moves into the field of now. And a very helpful thing that I may be pointing to quite a few times during this afternoon, as you sit here, is to feel a certain connectedness with your inner energy field, the inner body, to sense that you are alive. To sense a little bit the inner energy field of your body, hands, legs. There is a certain aliveness there. Usually you would not be aware of it because all your attention is absorbed by thinking. Now you place some attention away from thinking into the sense of aliveness in the body as you sit here. That provides an anchor for staying present here. And this, you'll be able to listen much better when you are present here, anchored within the body, inhabiting the body as you sit here. Just and feel a certain aliveness. Maybe you cannot feel it everywhere yet, but a certain aliveness is there. That's enough to have some attention there. Then the rest of your attention is on the sense perceptions, especially listening and seeing. So, being present here. It is an amazing shift in consciousness, and yet to the mind it is meaningless, it is insignificant, it doesn't even recognize it. It says, so this can't be important, my problems are important. How does that solve my problems? It does. What is coming to an end, what has to come to an end on this planet very soon, is a state of consciousness that is totally identified with thinking, where you only know yourself as thought processes, and you're totally identified with whatever happens and experience the corresponding emotions that go with those thoughts. That is the egoic mind-made entity, me, with its little story, with its unsatisfactory story, never satisfying for long, the story of me. Always something comes in to sabotage the story the way it should be going. And certainly it hasn't gone the way it was supposed to go, this story of me. But I still have some future to make it work. The mind-made entity, conditioned by its surroundings, its past, to only know yourself as that, that is coming to an end as the normal human state of consciousness. Because that excessive identification with thought processes prevents you from knowing who you are at the deeper levels of your being. You remain a surface phenomenon, an uneasy ripple or wave movements on the surface. Just here, always, never sensing that deep connectedness with who you are underneath the movement of thought. And that leads to dreadful madness on the planet. The madness of that we experience in interpersonal relationships, the collective madness on the planet. There are certain focal points on the planet where you can see the collective madness more clearly than others, but it is everywhere. And when you get to the root of it, all that which creates this enormous amount of violence and suffering on the planet, and even is even threatening the survival of the planet, what is at the root of that what one could only describe as dysfunction, human dysfunction, of which we've seen so much in the 20th century, and what we are seeing now is a continuation of it. What is it that lies at the root of all that? But that is also within ourselves still, although the new is arising. The old consciousness, the mind-identified state is still there. It comes in waves. There was an article written last week in the New York Times by an Israeli writer about the madness in the Middle East that we are witnessing there. And he used an interesting expression. He tried to get to the bottom of it. What is it that makes people behave in such a way? And he came up with a very interesting realization, but perhaps did not realize himself how profound the implications are of this realization that he came up with. What he said was, the people who are involved in this conflict do not seem to have the ability. Now he uses an interesting expression, the ability to accommodate a competing narrative. Narrative means it is the story that you are telling yourself and others, which interprets your life situation. A narrative can be a personal narrative, that is the story you're telling yourself and others about who you are. And a narrative can be a collective story, that is the story that everybody who is part of this nation or tribe is telling themselves and others, and is reinforced continuously, which is their interpretation of how things are. And each side has its narrative. And then there is a competing narrative that is the opposite of my narrative. Every narrative is a story. Every story is mind movement, is thought structures. Every story is the movement of thought, which becomes, certain thought structures become deeply lodged in the mind, and they hang on in there. This is how it is. And your sense of self, your sense of identity, your sense of who you are, becomes entangled with that narrative. Now, people do that on a personal level, in their own personal lives, and in some places more than others, less so in countries like the one we are. But in certain countries, the collective narrative still has enormous hold on people. The collective mental conditioning overwhelms the mind, and every personal sense of self, it really is predominantly dominated by the collective us and our story, our narrative. This is how things are. And you find that collective identification very strong in all those places where there is an enormous amount of conflict and violence. And so there is the seeming inability to see what is happening, that I am identifying with a particular way of interpreting reality. And I am mistaking a thought or a set of thoughts for the truth of how things are, or the truth of who I am, if it's on the personal level. So people do it collectively and personally to themselves. Certain ideas form in your mind who you are, conditioning, parents told you, society tells you, or you react against what parents told you and society tells you of who you are, and it's also conditioned. And so you are then your sense of self is in the movement of thought, and there are certain repetitive thought movements that then provide you with your sense of self. Personal, predominantly personal, or predominantly collective. And there's the inability to see the limitations of thought. The inability to see that ultimately no thought that you have concerning anything or anybody, yourself, a situation, a place,